But yeah, I mean, I think that's another, and that's even another issue that I really don't like about the Olympics is like it's very story based.
Oh, and I think I hate it when they do.
You end up watching maybe 10 minutes of sports for 60 minutes of television. You know, because I mean, 22 minutes of it,
they give you the sob story.
Is like the ads, and then another 22 is the sob story, yeah, or how hard this person like worked to get here, or their hardships, or I think Nancy Kerrigan's mother was blind or something like that, or
yeah,
like very legally blind, like very very like.
Rutanya Bolinova grew up in a barn. Outside of a radioactive blowout hole Ukraine. Have you ever had one of those? My God. Oh, my blowout hole is radioactive. Anywho.
So, yeah, I mean, it's funny that I have all these opinions. And they're all based on, like, when I was watching Olympics, like, when I was, like, 12 or 16. Because yeah, it's weird that I haven't watched them. I just don't care about them anymore. And I guess some people do. And I feel like this old sort of, like, Grinch.
Well, the whole kind of being frightened of the Olympic farm and the kind of overt or radical patriotism is sort of a bit of that, I think, the not really caring so much is kind of like, so, well, part of the reason I don't care so much is because some people seem to care way too much.
That's a reaction to that, yeah, you know. And it's also like you could see that, well, the medal count is based on how rich that country is,
mm-hmm,
you know. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I guess it means a lot to, like, sort of win a medal, you know. Yeah. And, like, I mean, we're really proud of our athletes, but it's like, it's just sort of like, it's games.
Did you see that the Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, is really pissed off because the media probably exaggerated this, but he made some comments about, like, oh, you know, we need to refocus everything, and so the media is like, well, Medvedev wants to, you know, do all this and whatever, but it's sort of like, yeah, I mean, like, hey, you're one of the rich countries, you have 100,000 oligarchs, you know, or maybe just 1,000.
Right.
But you got a hell of a lot of, you know, people who are maybe robbing your country blind, but they should be throwing some money into the sports system, you know. Like,
and I think there's a lot of pressure on the home country to sort of like perform and do really well, mm, or whatever, and it's just,
he's also worried about the next Winter Olympics.
I guess they're in Moscow, is that right?
No, they're in somewhere off the Black Sea, like Sochi or something.
Is that in Russia or is it somewhere else? Or?
It's probably in a Russian republic. Yeah. We don't know if it's actually in what historically it was Russia, but no, right, I think it is in Russia.
Somewhere over there anyway. Yeah. So they're gonna claim it as homeland and they gotta like clean up basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, it's just funny that the Olympics kind of came and went. I just didn't even know about it. You know, I heard people talking about it.
Yeah, I heard about it on the radio.
And NPR. I guess people were really complaining about how, it's funny because we're in San Francisco and they were in Vancouver. And everything we watched apparently on TV on the West Coast was all tape delayed.
Oh, really?
Which is not really even possible, but it is possible. Like because of kind of what we were talking about, where like the presentation of the Olympics is so prepared.
Uh-huh.
And so produced in terms of stories, yeah, and like, you know, storyline and characters and stuff like that. I mean, the athletes are not really athletes, they're characters.
Yeah.
You know, you care about them because they're American and because they overcame some sort of struggle.
Yeah.
Right? And so all this needed to be produced, and Bob Costas needed to be in front of like a fireplace that was actually a television.
Is that how it worked?
Yeah, you know, I saw some clip on the internet. Apparently Stephen Colbert
went on his
show and he's like, oh, I love this fire, and he like goes into the fireplace because it looks like flames. He just goes in there. He's like, oh, it's so warm in here. Like literally next to the fire, but it's like, oh, it's a television, so you know. But yeah, it's like this total like fake sort of like cabin rustic feel, you know. Yeah. He's like wearing like a sweater, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, like this whole like sort of like narrative that they present or whatever, and then they need to prepare that, and like I could say, so they have an East Coast presentation that, and then they delay that three hours and they show it on the West Coast, even though we're it's like above us, you
that's
know?
Pretty
like
weird
in Vancouver, but it's like, hey, I mean, that's what you gotta do,
actually, not above, north of.
It's all your perspective, I suppose.
I feel like I kind of want to come back to this area, you know, or I want to end up here
in the Bay Area.
Yeah, or I don't know,
California.
You
know, or
yeah, maybe
West Coast.
It's
Western Hemisphere.
I don't. I guess I don't want to when you're recording, it's almost like writing things down, you know?
Yeah.
But I have an attachment to the area. I really like it. But I also have the sort of antsiness to want to get out and do something else for a while.
Right.
And I feel like I'm too young right now to buy a house.
Right.
And like, it, which is interesting because a lot of my friends have sort of bought houses and settled down and that sort of thing. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else first and wander around a bit more because there's more to see for me.
For me,
not for everybody. It's cool that they bought houses. I don't want to do that right now. Anywho, but I mean, you own a piece of property, or you own a condo down in San Diego, but you don't live there. It doesn't like tie you down.
It kind of does tie you down, and it's like, it's weird because I don't really have any regrets about it. It's worked out so far pretty well, you mm-hmm. know. Like, I'm still losing money on it per se, kind of technically. Like,
because you pay mortgage and
The rent is not as much as the mortgage, so I have to cover that difference. Okay. So I'm losing money on it, but it's like, I'm not losing so much money that I'm even worried about it.
Right.
So that's fine, you know. And it hasn't lost value as far as I know. I just don't even pay attention anymore.
Because that would be scary.
Right. But it's like, you know, I bought it. I can afford it. Great, you know.
And, you know, with the location of that, it's not going to.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like, update for the people in the listening audience, Sachin's condo is very close to the University of California in San Diego. And so it will always have a renter, even if the renting environment changes.
Right. So it's, you know, it's the value. It depends on if I want to sell it. So the value might go up or down, but I think like the rental market hopefully will be valid. And
well,
sort of
it'll always have a buyer. Yeah. I mean, there will always be people who want to live right there.
Right. So
unless the UC collapses, which is a possibility.
Yeah, the way things are going. So you never know, right? But I mean, I totally am happy, and I've reaped a lot of benefits and rewards as a result of it. Like, anytime I want to rent a place, like, I'm actually going to move in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was sending out applications for apartments and stuff, I don't even worry about it. In fact, I know that if I want a place and I apply for it, I will get it. That's mm-hmm. my attitude. I mean, I might be completely wrong, but, like, I know that my credit is so good.
Because you've been paying your mortgage.
Yeah, because I have a mortgage and I have other... I mean, it's like, because you do, like, you end up... Although you kind of, like, lose the freedom of, like, sort of, like, these responsibilities, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you take on these responsibilities, which have their own burdens, but then they have these rewards in terms of, like, I don't worry about getting places, and I don't worry about getting credit cards, and I don't worry about, like, lines of credit or anything with regards to money. Because I have this thing, and people, their values are in that thing, and mm-hmm. I have that, so it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But... Like, when I was there, like, when I was working, I was like, well, you know, what if I wanted to go back to grad school? You know, like, well, then I have to sell my house. Because that's 2 years of income that I have to give up now. Like, I can't afford 2 years of mortgage with zero income.
You're assuming that you would pay to go to grad school.
Right, right.
Here's the thing, dude. Don't pay to go to grad school.
No, but I mean, it has to pay my rent. Right? I mean, somebody has to pay for it, right?
But I mean, but usually, if you go to... anything, I would say, other than like a law or business program, there's opportunities. Either you get straight out funding, which is supposed to like cover your rent and living expenses.
Right, right.
Or there's opportunities to secure that funding.
No, for sure. And, but the weird thing is like my rent, because I live in my condo, is a mortgage.
Right, so it's a bit more.
It's a lot more. Right. It's not university housing. It's not even like living with roommates.
But you could have a roommate.
I could, but it would still be a lot of money to, like, sort of, like... And, like, let's say I wanted to go... You know, I even gave half a thought to going to the Peace Corps or something like that. You know, it's Ooh. Like, that's... You know, because I
was... Here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm totally for that. And, like, I thought about that. And I'm like, well, I didn't want to do it out of college because I was like, well, it's kind of weird. And, like, you know, this is all sort of hindsight. I'm not sure if it was right or not. But it was like, I didn't want to lose the so-called skills that I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you graduate with a technical degree. You spent 4 years sort of, like, cramming all this stuff in your head. And then you want to spend the next 4 years sort of like using it and sort of like making it make sense.
Building on it.
Yeah.
Developing.
And it's like, you know, maybe if you're some like an art major that's sort of like with you, you know, and you're an artist wherever you are. Mm. But you're not necessarily an engineer when you're not around computers.
I was a surgeon 40 years ago. I can take care of this. This is your hemoglobin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe doctors, you know, like certain sort of things, you know, they could feel your arm and set your bone or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, maybe after 20 years, they're not ready to like sort of like scrub up and get in there. You know, maybe they need
well,
to
maybe
like,
they could do like, I have a feeling though, like the anatomy, you could certainly do like the appendectomy or something after 40 years, but you probably couldn't do brain surgery.
Right, right. You know, and it's like the same way. It's like I could probably do some basic stuff, but I didn't want to like sort of lose that. I mean, for right or wrong, that was my decision. And also I wasn't, I mean, it's a big decision and I just didn't take it, you know, and I decided to work. And then
there's still time.
Of course.
I don't know if you could convince your wife to be.
Right's the thing, right?
I mean, I don't know. That'd be a tough sell. I mean, like, there's certainly things that, you know, people with Kim's background could do in the Peace Corps, but...
I mean, you don't need a background in anything. All you need is to go and have a willing attitude, I would imagine, right?
Au contraire.
Oh, yeah?
You gotta have... Well, all right, maybe.
I mean, it's like if a college graduate can go, then a person who's been working for 10 years can go,
that's
right?
That's true.
If anything, a person with 10 who's worked for 10 years knows how to get stuff done.
That's true.
Right?
You're right.
So... After, you know,
I don't want to say they just take anybody.
No, they don't. They don't. But the possibility of you going is the same whether or not, you know, it's your attitude and your qualifications and whatever.
Word.
So, like, I figured, you know, I worked for 4 or 5 years. Then I was like, okay, you know, this is cool. And, like, maybe I was getting into a little bit of, like, I'm sort of tired of this. And I'm young. Why don't I go do something? You know, like, I bought the house, and I have the job, and I paid for my car, you know, and it's like, I'm doing this thing, it's great, nothing's really changing, let's do something crazy, let's go on a trip, and then, you know, do that, and the next year, it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe something else, maybe the Peace Corps, you know, mm-hmm. But it's like, no, that's 2.5 years of lost wages. Right? I mean, if you're making, let's say you make more than $6,000 a year.
But it's all relative. I mean, because... you're thinking about after you come back. It's lost wages because relative to where you're living.
No, you're totally right.
You live in like a king, so
it is after you come back. But when you look back at it after 2 years, mm-hmm. What have you got for it? Well, you have 2 years of awesome experience, which obviously it's like MasterCard. Can't put a price on that. But at the same time, you can't pay for anything with it. So it's priceless. It's a priceless experience, but. I came back and it's like, well, I can't pay my mortgage for 2 years and not be here and not work.
Yeah. Well, you had debt.
Well, I have my house.
Yeah. I mean, which is debt.
Okay. I mean, see that, that's sort of like the. I agree that it technically is debt, but I think the way people deal with money a lot these days is they don't consider their house debt. They consider it just this investment asset. And it has, you know, it requires a certain amount of money each month to sort of, like, keep going.
But that's, I mean, in a sense, that's kind of the attitude that that ended up with the whole mortgage crisis, isn't it? I mean, you have to look at, if you go and buy a house that you don't have, if you do not have all the money to buy that house, like a straight-up purchase, like going to the store and buying a donut,
right?
You're in debt.
Yes and no, because...
And the bank ends up owning that house if they foreclose on your mortgage.
No, you're totally right. You're totally right. But, I mean, I think there's a slight distinction between a house and a car, for example, or even student loan. I mean, student loans is debt, but it's at such a low interest rate, and you can write it off. And, like, the same thing with a house. It's like, you can write off that mortgage, and it helps so much. And, like, to own what you live in, and it's sort of like it's you're part of the community, and you're spurring mm-hmm. it through, like, property taxes and stuff like that. I mean, I agree it's debt. Mm-hmm. But there's, I mean, you can't not have debt in certain situations, you know? I mean, credit card debt is just bad because right. it's unending, right? It's month to month. It's like, I need to buy this thing, but I can't afford it. I'm going to buy it anyway. Whereas a house, it's like, there's no way you could buy a house. Mm. So is it fair to call it debt? I don't think so. I mean, I agree that it is. You owe somebody money on a monthly basis, mm-hmm. but it's sort of this commit. It's just like rent. Is rent debt? I mean, you have to live somewhere, and you most often have to pay rent if you don't own your house. Is that debt? No, it's just a monthly commitment that you have to make. Mm-hmm.